Our Wednesday starts with Luke Hodge. Hello, Luke.
Morning, Jared. I don't know where to start with. I think we covered North Melbourne a few weeks ago and we thought that's where it hit rock bottom, but there seems to be a little bit more unease. And I think what you said before about the instability, as a player, you want, and what I've seen as a player over the years is the clubs that do well are the clubs that have stability. And one thing North don't have at the moment is, we spoke a couple weeks ago about the president changing, Brady Rawlings changing positions, Daniel McPherson coming in, medical and high performance teams have been replaced, and now three recruiting officers are gone all at the same time. So you sort of sit back and go, they can't probably hit rock bottom any further than what they've already gone.
So how unsettling is it to have what is a mass walkout in the recruiting department right in the middle of a rebuild?
Well, what it shows to me is just they're not on the same page. And that's what you do want is from the foundation going up is if you're going to rebuild a football club, you need to start with everyone agreeing with what we need to start with and go from there. So for three recruiters to walk out at the same time, clearly their mindset's totally different from either coaches or GM or anything else and where their focus is. So that would be the biggest thing. And this could work out as a positive for North Melbourne, the fact that if they bring in three recruiters that have the same mindset as the current coach and GM, then all of a sudden people on the right page and we can move forward without these arguments or what was the word that was thrown around, lack of support. As I said, it just doesn't look good for the club considering there's been so much talk about with obviously Nobes and the relationship with the players and all the change that they've had so far.
It from all that you hear, there is an environment that is feeling the negativity, which I think we would... So Melbourne and Carlton have been used as examples of soaring rebuilds. Oh my goodness, we must have short memories. Is those years where the negativity grabbed hold? It feels to me like this is well recognised and this is the phase that North Melbourne finds itself in.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess people do. What Carlton have been through for the last 20 years, we forget because they're sitting fourth on the ladder, I think it is. You sort of look back and look, credit to Jack. Jack's fronting up. He's trying to do the best thing to settle it down as a captain should. He's saying everyone's going there, everyone's enjoying it. But then when you look at Horn Francis, who's a first-year person, knocked back a contract extension. Zerha, who's a 24-year-old who does... looking at him, he's someone who you want to play with. We'll put his body on the line, we'll block for teammates, we'll stick up for teammates. They're the two people that you want to sign on at your club for the future and for the culture side of things. And they're holding. So clearly from the staff upstairs, there's a bit unease at the staff with the people who have left, but the players obviously are feeling it as well, considering two young guns who, as soon as you get drafted into a football club as a high draft pick, I can't remember many that haven't signed that extension straight on. I know I did it straight in. I walked straight in one of the extra years because it takes time for you to relax and you don't have to force issues straight away. You can build into the career that you want to build. That's the other thing that sort of caught my eye is, yes, Jack's doing the right thing as a captain to try and cool everything off, but then the actions of some of his younger players are sort of sitting and going, well, I feel the unease from upstairs that are filtering through to them.
How do you get out of it? So they're in a really interesting spot. 10 rounds in, it doesn't look like there's going to be the spiritual uplift that you get from winning terribly often this year. So if this is the scenario late in May, it does make this a very long season.
I guess it comes down to what we sort of spoke about, is just building those relationships, having that support, whoever comes in, showing that the culture of the football is changing and on the way up. And it all starts with communication, making sure everyone knows what their position is, what the pathway of the club is going to be, where we're going, why we're doing it. These are the reasons why we're doing certain things. If everyone's on that same page, that shows stability. Everyone, at least then, no one's surprised by actions. No one's looking over their shoulder and the club can move forward. But until they're having those conversations and open, and sometimes they're not nice conversations, but between staff to staff, staff to players, and everyone is on the same page, that's when they can start pushing forward as a club. And there's no hesitation and there's no second guessing.
Sam's with us in Adelaide, a North supporter. Sam, welcome to you.
Good morning, boys.
What have you got? Where well?
I think, like, Brady Rawlings came in to that footy club and he was made the operations footy manager, right? And when he came in, he obviously identified a few things pretty early days that needed a bit of work. And the first was a bit of strength and conditioning, and that changed at the end of last year. And then he brought Daniel McPherson in as well. So he sat there and he's had 2.5, 3 years with this recruiting team. And I think there's probably a few words that are being missed in terms of the communication from the footy club, but they've obviously got to a point where they're frustrated with some of the overall list management builds, and that's emanating on field now. So, like, you look at where that list management team went wrong probably at the start of this year, they never addressed any key position defensive depth. You know, we were told there was a Zoom meeting with Luffy at the start of the year where he spoke about Matt McGuinness, who was a rookie-listed NGA pick, who's gone, you know, he's 194 centimetres and 85 kilos, all of the string being, how he was going to be the cover. And it just looked laughable from the outset. You know, it was this weird super coach mentality of having this sort of player that's going to fit a role. And we've ended up having Aidan Bonaflow and Harry McCart. Like, you know, there's just a couple of issues there. You know, we're a rebuilding team now who's got, we'll have pick two or pick one thereabouts. We don't have a second or third round pick. Our next pick's 50. So I think these guys have probably, there's probably some internal angst and some, you know, some issues there going, hey, this isn't working. You know, Finnegan's been there 17 years. Well, like, I think they're just starting to get, you know, they culled the on-field side of things. Now they're starting to cull the back of house footy department side of things, trying to get a staunch business mentality in there and trying to become a professional environment.
Yeah, so failure or fracture. They set out on a plan together, and at the midpoint, either the club has lost faith in the architects or the architects have gone, oh, I can't be in this environment anymore.
This is where you could look at, is this a sign of stability between those three, between Rawlings, McPherson and Noble? The fact that they've come in and they've looked at what they've had over the last couple of years, and I've heard that Mark Finnegan went there and said, I've got a 3-year deal from Hawthorn. Can you match it? And North are like, no, we can't match that. So then they're sitting there going, well, we're happy for you to leave. We're going to build a side around who we think and bring the people in who we... And you look at some of the moves that they have made, and you look at the Pollock. They've gone after Dusty Kelly. They've gone hard at Pollock. And everyone at that time was sitting there going, he's an outside fringe wingman. You're not building a club around that kind of player to throw that much money. So they're probably sitting back, and that could be their first sign. And this is a glass half full point of view for the North Melbourne supporters out there, but maybe that's their first sign of stability in their group. Noble, Rawlings, McPherson said, nah, we're going to build this from the ground up, and this is our first move. And yes, it does look ugly, and we've had so many changes, but this is our building from the block up, and we can move from there.
John's in Greensboro. Welcome, John.
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. Look, I just want to throw in Alistair Clarkson's name into the ring. And since this Tasmania North Melbourne thing has resurfaced, and if the right thing is for Noble to actually move on, I'd like Alistair Clarkson to look at it and take on a real challenge, not a lifestyle challenge, but a real challenge. And I think the only way that North supporters would find that an attractive proposition with a Tasmanian half relocation or along those lines is if they actually were able to pull a coup and recruit Alistair. And that would be great for the AFL. It would be a pretty good result, I reckon, for a struggling club. So I don't know. What do you guys reckon? If that's the way they're going to go, I reckon if you gave up to North Melbourne and said, look, you know, we're going to relocate to Tassie, but guess what? It looks pretty good in the future, and Alistair Clarkson is going to be the man at the helm. I reckon it looks like a pretty attractive proposition.
I'll take the first bit. Tasmania will have no interest in North Melbourne, and if you want that venture to fail and not unite a state, then do that. We're miles past that. Miles past it. You take the Clarkson side of it.
And I think Clarko, if he went through the list management side of things and the structure behind, I guess, look at his experience. When he's had stability behind him, he's done well. So walking into a club like that, I don't think would be on his radar when there's going to be other clubs out there with in a better position, better lists, and a lot better set up for him to walk into. For, as he said in his own words, he's coming back to win a premiership. And I reckon if he looked at North Melbourne, he couldn't be seeing that in the near future.
How far away could you see them getting back into contention, Luke, if they started to make all the right decisions?
Well, that's the thing is, if you look back at the Bulldogs took a couple of years from, they lost their captain, they lost their coach, they brought in Bevo, and they won a flag within, I think it was 2 or 3 years, a very quick turnaround. So if the younger kids can develop, the senior guys can sort of teach them, and they can bring in a few very important players that, that help the structure and help, I guess, where the club's going, then it can turn around very quickly. But how North have got rid of everyone, it does look a long way away, especially when, as far as destination clubs now, people are moving for chances to win a premiership or chance to, if they can see light to, towards a premiership. And I don't think players who are in that realm, if you're going to go to a St Kilda or a North Melbourne, I think you know who you're going to pick.
Luke Hodge gets us underway on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, isn't it, for City Power upgrades continuing to provide reliable power supply. 0433 98 11 16. Temper, a mattress like no other. You can call 1300 736 736. Luke Hodge in place this Wednesday morning. Jacob Wettering coming into the studio shortly. Roy is with us in Essendon. The topic of the day at the start is North Melbourne. Welcome to you, Roy.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I hope you're both well. Hey, I've been a paid-up member of North Melbourne for 35 years, and this is not a, we're not in a good spot. There's no doubt about that. But I wanted to make a comment. There was a comment made just before the break about how long it will take for North Melbourne to get back into some sort of winning form. Going back a few weeks ago, I think it was the game against Carlton where North Melbourne had picked a side and they didn't draw on any of the reserves. And what I mean by that is, the full-back or the centre-half-back in the reserves of the VFL team was not picked to fill a role to play on Mackay. And the bloke that played him was Bonner, who was about 3'2" against the big forward in Mackay. So, for me, the depth of North Melbourne is in real trouble if they can't pick a centre-half-back or a full-back to come into the senior team to play on a big bloke like a Mackay in the Carlton side, and they played Bonner on him. So the depth is in real trouble. So when we say how long is it going to take, I reckon they are multiple years of getting back into any sort of shape.
Yeah, it feels like a four-draft project and they're two drafts in, Roy. Richard's on the road with a view on North. Hello, Richard.
Morning, gents. Luke, welcome. And, mate, as a Hawthorn supporter, thanks very much for everything you do for our club. Quick question. I'm just really intrigued. You got Sam Mitchell as the coach. List management is going to be critical. And if you look at where North is, why would Hawthorn go and recruit somebody from the list management side of things at a club like North Melbourne based on where the two clubs are and where they're going? I just don't get it.
Yeah, I guess when you've been in the industry for that long, they've obviously had a relationship with some of the guys at Hawthorn and they've liked what they've seen at times. So that's one thing is just because a certain mindset or structure doesn't work at one club doesn't mean it won't work at the next. So we've seen coaches come across, Chris Fagan come across from Melbourne when Melbourne hadn't been successful for a number of years and he made a massive impact on the Hawthorn Football Club and we won a premiership the next year. So there is the skill for off-field tactics is trying to identify who's really good and how they can fit into your structure. And there's no doubt, there's a lot of people at North are probably saying he was really good, but then Hawthorn have identified that he's going to be an asset and they could use him. So that's the tricky thing, is picking someone in other clubs where they can make an asset and make your club better.
And he had been the subject of multiple job offers over many a year, Mark Finnegan. So he is well regarded in the industry. I think the idea to try to dismiss him as being hopeless runs completely counter to the industry view of how good he is.
And the other one I see personally is Cameron Bruce, who'd been at Carlton for a number of years. And then Brisbane went and sourced him because they know what kind of person he is. Fagan worked with him at Hawthorn and he's ability to make relationships with players and what he brings to them as far as the defensive mindset of a midfield coach. They do have asset that can make other clubs better.
I think you were going to reference Hawthorn. We may as well use Richard's cue there.
Oh, I was just interesting to see that the people that were going after Sammy Mitchell and Hawthorn when they made the decision to part ways with Clarko and how opinionated and how strong they were. Do you reckon the feeling's sort of gone a little bit backwards with their appraisal of Samuel?
I think so. There's two arms to it, isn't there? There's the $900,000 that they're funding to Alistair Clarkson for his travels for this year. So that's terrible management when that ends up being your scenario. But the idea that it was time to bring forwards the transition from the old to the young looks sound.
Maybe that was just a thank you paycheck for what he's done in the past. I reckon a lot of supporters would have
thanked what he's done. The
gold watch. But I think people that, and it's always, and I can understand why at the time it was a four-time premiership coach against someone who'd been untried as a senior coach. But I think playing with Mitch, a lot of people who had played with him or known him for a long time knew what he's capable of. And I think what he's been able to bring in the freedom, he's definitely playing. His mindset as a player was attack, get the ball, attack and go fast, even though he was as slow as anyone I've ever played with. But his mind would work as fast as anyone. And I think that's what he's bringing to the players. Not only that, the tactical side of things, like coming up against some of the teams that he's played and how they've been able to. So they pushed Melbourne within 10 points, tagging Langdon out in the wing. No one else had looked to do that. Coming up against the Lions, who were sitting second and have been playing some really good football, bringing in some senior players to be able to change roles, like a Liam Shields to go to Lachie Neale at halftime to change the game. They've beaten the Cats. So his ability to tell his younger team to go and have a crack. If you make mistakes, it doesn't matter. And that was what he was like as a player. He would try anything as a player because he knew after that, could he do it? Or if not, that's where you need to improve on. And it looks like that's what he's passing on to his other players. So it's just good to sort of see that the younger group have sort of taken a liking, but then he's also been smart enough and to bring back in some senior guys to play a helpful role to help guide these younger guys. So for all the other midfielders, the younger midfielders, to watch Liam Shields coming on the weekend to go on, you go and play midfield, but at halftime, hang on, you need to park your own ego to the side. Come and play a selfless role for us because that's going to help us win. What does that show the rest of the younger guys that if a senior person like Liam Shields is able to do it, should they be able to do it when they get asked as well?
Yep. Hey, Patrick Dangerfield's going to join me at 10. So the recurrence of the calf injury, he's 32. We had previously joked about it being the old man's injury. I don't think I'll be joking about that today. No. I think your example of how you approached your latter years and extended and changed your body shape and the way that you played, just give us an insight into what your experiences were and how they might relate to Dangerfield.
Yeah, I was a little bit younger than Paddy. I was 28 when I came with a few injuries, had a calf, and then had the PCL. And I pretty much sat back and thought, I love this game. I could be out of the game very quickly. What do I have to do to play this game for as long as I possibly could? What changes do I need to make? Yes, well, one of the decisions was need to drop some kilos to be more agile, make the body recover easier. And let's be honest, I'm not built like Danger. Danger's got muscle upon muscle. Let's just say my rig wasn't built like that. So I had to lose weight in other ways. But then the other stuff, the body movement stuff, I went and saw Mark McGrath, who was such a big help for me with the calf that I had. And when you're learning to run after a big operation, you start to favour one side, which puts other muscles at risk. So there's all these other things. I had to sit back and I had to lean off four or five different people that I trusted at the football club and outside the football club to help point me in the right direction that gave me the ability to play for as long as I possibly could. And I feel for Danger because he's played one way his whole career. And I was the same. I was an in and under midfielder who, definitely not later in my career, but early on I used to play midfield and burst. And I wasn't an endurance player. I had to burst from stoppages. I had to adapt and move to different positions. And my longevity was go to half back and try and help my team that way. So there is a few discussions that he's going to have to make with obviously his own mindset, but also the club and other decisions he's moving forward. But I wouldn't write him off. He's a bloke who has the ability to play a number of different roles, and he's as determined as anyone that I've seen that I've played against for playing football and playing for as long as he possibly could.
Can you see the time coming, though, when he might have to modify the core of the way that he's always played to manage such injury?
Yeah, you do. But I think that's anyone who gets to 30, the writing's always there for people external to say, hey, mate, you're almost done. You've hit the 3-0. But look at Sean Burgon. He played till 38 because he was able to adapt his game, had the flexibility to play forward, midfield, back, and didn't rely on the one position. And And I think you look at Joel Selwood this year. He's been pushing out to a wing at times. And oh, sorry, the last 8 months, he's been playing different positions. So he's more protected from the crash and bash. Danger might be a little bit of the, well, maybe I'm not the burst speed midfielder anymore, but it's very hard to let go of considering that's his role, and he's been so good at it for so long.
All right, I'll talk to Paddy about that at 10 o'clock. Luke, great to catch up. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jared.
Luke Hodge gets us underway on a Wednesday, 0433 98 11 16. Temper, a mattress like no other. We'll work more calls in as we go.